He's gonna win the Gold Cup!
If you don't like wrestling, well, watch Peppa Pig.
Whisper my mic, peut-être.
There's a knock in the middle of that up as the race come off the line. There's a tremendous cheer from the crowd.
Hi folks out there, and you're very welcome to the Irish Examiner podcast, with a bit of a difference for me anyway. This week it's our Cheltenham podcast, normally here talking hurling with Mark Landers or TJ Ryan or somebody like that on a Monday morning. But I suppose with the week that's in it, we're delighted to be here. Lovely new studio here in the Irish Examiner building here on Assumption Road as well, which is a real treat from being down in the box room with Larry. Larry has his own desk now and screens and everything around him. But to be delighted to be joined, I suppose, from right to left by our own correspondent here, Tommy Lyons. Tommy will be giving you all his knowledge all week and picking the winners for you, no doubt. Delighted that Pat Healy is sitting opposite me, of Listowel fame and of photography fame from every race meeting in Ireland. And Pat, we're delighted you can join us after Mark Walsh. And what was the name of the horse he was riding?
It took us, at least in Cheltenham, to keep you a safe distance away.
tried to kill you in Navan in November.
It's good to be here, Dalo. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome, Pat. And yeah. You probably have the best view of all. But I mean, that just to see that incident there today, like, it's just amazing. Why you didn't become a jockey, I think, you know, because that was some belt.
No, I wouldn't have never had the bottle to be a jockey, never.
Well, yeah,
never.
After that one, but you didn't see that one coming, I suppose, really.
Broke a golden rule.
Yeah, and that's broke a golden rule. What's that, Ruby?
Get carried away in an ambulance, nothing wrong with you.
Well, that gives away our
glad to see Ruby's in form. Typical Ruby, no sympathy.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to use the ambulance, make sure you required it.
Yeah, the non-bullshit. Exactly. One of the Walsh family, Ruby, is here with us today as well, as you've copped at this stage. The king of Cheltenham, I suppose, 59 times. You brought him up the hill there, Rubes. 11 times champion. It's fantastic to have you here. It's a privilege for me as well. Big fan for a long time and delighted. The last time I met you, Ruby, was 14 years ago, St. Patrick's Day, in the shit pit.
In Cheltenham.
Will you explain where the shit pit is for
the
people?
There's the back paddock in Cheltenham. And the first four in Cheltenham obviously come back down into the parade ring, but all the others, all the also-rans, go to the unsaddling paddock, which is at the back of the Wareham. It's Rich Ritchie, dubbed the shit pit. When he was standing there 1 year for the fifth time, he wasn't very happy to be standing in it, and he christened it the shit pit. But look, it's most of the race courses use the parade ring. Cheltenham have a separate enclosure for it, but there's lots of sad faces in that paddock most of the time. You come back into people there, no one's happy to be in it.
Well, there was three of us, I think. I think the lads were outside. It was Peter Garvey, the late great Peter Garvey of the Sunnybank in Dublin, owned the horse Mr. Height, but he gave myself and the great father Harry Bohan kind of a quasi share in the horse, and he went off 4-1, second favourite to Detroit City for the triumph. But unfortunately he didn't give his running on the day.
I have a great tendency, Dale, to block those bad days out of my memory. They never happened.
When it was your only time inside in the ring in Cheltenham in your life, you remember them. And beforehand, we were full of, I wouldn't like to tell you, the envelope of money that Peter gave me to go off and have on. And I said, give me one of the eldest boys there with me, because I was afraid if I walked up to anybody else, we had to divide it between his eldest son, Peter, and myself. We got it on. But like, the guest thing about that was, money-wise, I had him backed, because I think you indicated, and David Casey indicated to me another day, I think around New Year's Eve, he won at Punchestown, that he'd be going for the triumph. That was going to be his target. So he was 33s and 25s, and any few quid I had on, I wasn't backing him at 9-2 or 4-1 anyway, that's for sure. But
you were in the know. You got on good and early.
Well, I said that's where he's going. I must, you know, not to be forking out my drinking money for the week over there. But yeah, I was gassed not to meet until this day. I suppose, lads, there's no point not talking about it without talking about coronavirus. Hopefully, I suppose, we go ahead at this stage anyway, and hopefully,
well, we can make the point, Dale. People say you got to think of your responsibilities. How many people go through Dublin Airport every day? How many people are coming in now? The Heathrow, the tube, everywhere. Like, you're talking about sporting events, they're the tip of the iceberg if you're talking about gatherings of people just going about their daily lives.
Yeah, but even the people who are going to get to Cheltenham, they're going to be going through airports, through train stations, on buses, in taxis. You know, it's just...
They're doing it going to work every day.
Yeah, oh, I agree with you.
Well, can you imagine, Rube? I was going to talk to you about this anyway, but you obviously won't be riding there this year. But you imagine riding a winner to an empty Cheltenham?
I'll tell you one thing, Anthony. It'll be a hell of a lot better than what happened in 2001. And it never took part and was never replaced. So someone was saying that to me the other day. There'd be no kick or excitement in it. Trust me, it'd be of a serious financial benefit to be standing above in Cheltenham riding the winner. Whether there's no one in the stand or 100,000 there, you're getting paid the same money. But when it's called off a foot and mouth, no one got a razoo.
It won't be hundreds and maybe a couple of thousand coming down to greet you.
No, that won't be the same. It won't be the same thing, but the lesser of two evils to me is the behind closed door scenario.
Yeah, same for you, Anthony. Would you love to win an All Ireland medal, but if there was no one allowed in the stadium and the match was played and you got your Celtic cross?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Probably if I came from a county like you, Pat, that has 20 something of them, or 30 something of them. 37 of them.
One for every county in Ireland.
You'd probably take that, and it's a bit like Ruby, but if it's my, this is my first one, like in 95, we're coming out, showing my age now, coming out waving in August. I'll tell you, we'd nearly have needed a crowd, I think. Or else everyone would have said she didn't win a real one at all. Like, you know, it was like the first couple of backdoor All-Irelands.
Might be Mayo's chance.
Behind closed doors. Oh, sorry, all Mayo listeners out there. Well, it's gas, you know, there's so much of it. Like, and we'll talk a bit about the crack we had over there. I went every year for about 9 years, and I wasn't there now in about 9 years either. I suppose financial and economic circumstances changed for a lot of us around the time of the crash, and I haven't got round to breaking it to the wife yet that I'm going back for a year. But soon, if you're listening, Eilish, soon it's coming. There's plans being made for next year already.
You can't find me Monday, Eilish, you know where I am.
I think that could be Monday. I tell you, we beat Waterford 1 year in the National League. I was clear manager, and it was our last match, and it kept us out of relegation. And that time, of course, the league, there was a bigger gap to the Championship because we were the old system. We probably weren't playing until the first week in June. And coming home in the bus, and this aforementioned Father Harry, Peter Garvey's friend as well, I said to him up the front of the bus, "I might go to Cheltenham tomorrow, you know." And literally rang a travel agent buddy of mine in Ennis, and I said, "Could you get me into England somewhere tomorrow?" And got me into London on the Monday and took off for the week. I'll tell you, the good times, the Celtic Tiger was rocking and rolling at the time. I tell you, well, great. And you know what, on that, like, you know, Peter had a few lucky with horses with Willie. I suppose he had J.O., he had Keaveney, Mr. Height was the superstar one. We were all, you know, and he got injured then and got him back for the Punchestown. That big expensive handicap at the end of Punchestown. He ran a cracker in that, nearly off top weight the following year to be third. And I remember saying to Willie, "We've the horseback, Willie, have we?" And he said, "We will know in the morning, Dale." He said, and I, you know, as it turned out, that was his last run. But ironically then, that was 2006.
You knew in the morning.
I didn't know it about lunchtime. But ironically then, the following year, Peter had a white horse, a grey horse, Ebazayan, who was 50-1, and I don't think we went out, as was our way at the time, to watch the races. The Mandarin Bar overlooking the winners in closer was the easier option, and not even a fiver each way on him and up the hill, and you were coming behind him on Granite Jack. I presume you could have rode him if you wanted. But
I rode the 5-2 shot instead of the 50-1 shot.
I know, and there you go.
It's a decision to make. But
I nearly had to rally the troops, Ruby, to go out and cheer Peter Garvey's winner home.
and that's what people say, they're like, "Oh, to ride the winner in Cheltenham and the roar and the reception." It is once people have backed it. Now, you'll get a reception regardless because there's a sporting crowd, but the difference in a reception to one that's been backed and a horse that's just won is incredible. And you must see it, Pat. You're always at the top of the track. You can the noise off the crowd. And it depends. And even if you've ridden a horse that's finished nowhere, you might know what's won. You'll know by the noise of the atmosphere whether it was fancied or not fancied.
And I remember a story. Stormer Norman won the Gold Cup in 95 on Master Oates. And he got a great reception coming back in. And then the following year was Imperial Call and Conor O'Dwyer. And that was that reception that Imperial Call and Conor got and Fergie Sutherland got was just unbelievable.
it was literally hairs on the back of your neck stuff.
I was my first Cheltenham. I was in the crowd watching.
That's right.
Had to climb up on the back of a makeshift stand to even see it.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. And we were driving home that night back to Norman's house after, and he said, "Do you know what?" He said, "I won the Gold Cup last year, but it may just have been a race around Sedgefield." He said, "Because the reception that man got today, that Conor Warren got, it was just a different gravy." And like Ruby's right, the Paddies, they do cheer in the Irish winners if they back them.
Yeah,
it's a mild clap if it's an Irish winner, yeah. But if they talk through their pockets in Cheltenham.
Yeah, I remember my first year going, I think it was around 99, was, you know, a fella saying to me, "Do mind your sentimental betting now." Of course, it has all changed now with the Irish nearly dominating, most years at least breaking even. But that was a big bit of advice I got from a fella down in Cork Airport flying to Bristol. I think it was Pat Keane of this parish at the time. to mind your sentimental betting.
He was right at the time, right, but it didn't have swing. I mean, I can remember being there in 96, like Imperial Call was one of four. Comanche Court won the following year, 97. He was one of four as well. Yeah. Istabrack and a couple of others. But like to where it's gotten to is phenomenal. And to think like that Irish racing could get to the point it got to. Now, the sustainability of that is probably the question. Mm. And when you look even into this week, it was interesting. I was on a preview night the other night on the radio, and Robert Power was fairly adamant, and he's the one guy riding on both sides of the sea and riding in the races, and is a good Barry Geraghty to be the other one to equate the form. But Robert was adamant outside of Envoy Allen, the English novice hurdlers were better. And that's the first... That could be a worrying sign, because... Handicaps are fine, but if you can't clock up the novice races, they're the easy pickings. And if Ireland aren't going to win them, it could swing very much back the other way.
Yeah, even Willie's not as strong, was never as weak in the last few years anyway, in the novice hurdle.
I suppose, like last year we had a Classical Dream one, but yeah, look, you've Asterion Falange and the Big Getaway and Monkfish, you know, they're three fair horses, but it's only three, and you could probably do it. Five or six of them going.
And it's gas. And that is like the way you're talking there is, that's the level that it has got to.
Yeah.
That's how high the bar is. And we are living through a special era in racing, because it won't always, you guarantee you, it won't always be 10 winners or 12 winners. It will come back down to four winners a year, because the wheel always goes around.
Yeah, but like Gordon was talking the other day, and he was saying that if before they'd done the final piece of work, all the horses he had ready to go at that stage, he had 50 to 55 runners.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it does take a little bit away from the fact that, you know, the reception they're going to get, of course, if he does. But like, if you're going to have that many runners, we're going to have a lot of winners. But is it that the horses are going to disappear? Because I
think that all changed, Tommy, with the way horses were transported. Like when I went with Comanche Court in 97, he flew. Like travelling him on the boat wasn't as easy, getting him across into the UK wasn't as quick. And then people changed it to going on the boat, and it became far more affordable. When you were flying a horse is half a pallet on an airplane. It's a pretty penny to put a horse on an airplane. Yeah. So that's why horses with a small chance didn't go. You either had to fancy it or you didn't go. And that changed with trainers on their own trucks, load them on the boat, splitting the cost in 10, and it became more... viable, I suppose.
Bigger trucks as well.
Bigger trucks. Yeah, yeah. It became more viable to send, for Gordon to send maybe 45 or 50, and for Willie to do the same. But realistically, if they all run out of their skin, Willie and Gordon send 100 between them. Only 28 can win.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a hell of a lot of losers.
Yeah.
That's if they win every race between them.
There was a time, back at the first time I was in Cheltenham, was 1999, and I can't remember, was it like a butterfly might have been favoured? Or anyway, at the time, all I remember is that if the Irish horse got beaten in the Supreme, you were behind the eight ball for the rest of the meeting. That's the way it was. Well, now we have quality all over the game. Like 4 days of it.
Yeah, I think that was my day. Was that the Supreme that You'll Never Walk Alone went off favour for? JP's horse.
No, Like a Butterfly was JP's. Maybe it was that year.
I might have been there in 98 now. I'm not 100% was it 98 or 99. But I'll never forget, you know, the pure greenness. Myself and the Sparrow's brother Fergie hit off to Bristol with Slattery Travel.
Yeah.
And coached up for the 3 days. 3 days that time. And met. Actually, the gas thing about it is where I'd never do that again, because Bristol was so far away and so devoid of atmosphere and that kind of thing. We actually met a bunch of great Cork friends that are friends to this day and are still going. And if we don't go, we meet. And there's a load of them now. Went up with Larry Tompkins' bus. Lest.
Jeez, I mean, what, did they get lost going from Bristol or something?
No.
It's about 15 minutes further away than Birmingham.
I know, yeah. But Birmingham be kind of doing our own thing, Rubes, you know, but this was all a package. You know, your flight,
they put an name tag on you as well.
Nearly. You had to be rounded up trying to find fellas. Yeah. They were given about 2 hours grace after the last race, and then the bus took off. Oh, many's the night was taxi down to Bristol. But guess who, like 20-something years on, the lads, they go on Larry Tompkins' outing every year, switch to a Cork League game, and Cork and Galway was on, so they stayed in Ennis. Not a lot of them went on to Salt Hill now last Sunday. They stayed in Ennis and got collected on the bus on the way back. But it's great that the pals I've made out of going there and have remained pals.
It is, Anthony. It's great to see even today, like, it is an Irish thing. And I see young fellas in the stall now to be maybe a generation or two generations behind me, because I'm getting to that age now. And they're saving up all year. And they can't wait to make the trip, their first Cheltenham. And Cheltenham still has that attraction for Irish fellas in every town in the country, in every parish in the country, and it's great to see it. And they'll go over and they'll punt their heads off. And
I could see it riding. Like, when you'd be leaving the parade ring down the chute, and the amount of faces you would recognise all the way in, and even when you come back down in 1-1, like lads hanging over the rail, the amount of people you would see from every part of the country that you might only see once a year. You might see them again until Cheltenham the following year. I would say, jeez, I think I saw that fella last year. Yeah. He'd be shouting at you like as if he was your best friend. But I mean, think it's incredible that just draw.
It is unique.
It's like Christmas Eve in lots of ways, isn't it? You know, just,
but there's a great story again about two fellas in the stall, Babador Baba and Mucky Grimes.
There's some amount of characters in that little stall, I tell you. Between yourself and Billy Kane, I tell you.
The two boys were going to their first Cheltenham, and they'd saved up all year.
Babador.
Baba works in Castell and Abbeyfield, and Mucky works down the Kerry Co-op. So the two hard-working fellas, and they saved up all year to go to Cheltenham. But the thing was, they were only getting in for one day's racing. But we had a house rent. We rent a house in Charlton Kings, myself and Berkey Brown. And they were staying with us on the floor. That was grand. And they arrived over, and they arrived to the door that morning. It was the Wednesday. They were going racing the Wednesday, and they were going back on Thursday morning. And they arrived at the door in their best suit and their best tie, best shirt, and polished up for the races. And just, they were going to have the breakfast and going up to the track. And Berkey Brown says, I have a job for you. You're going nowhere. And the boys just, what? How do you mean we're going nowhere? I have a job for you. The house we rented, there was a fella, he worked for the local gas company. So what does Berkey do? But he appears with two boiler suits. And he says to the boys, put them on. You're not going racing. How do you mean we're not going racing? He wanted them to go around Cheltenham Town with readies. There was a job on in Huntingdon. The late Patsy Byrne, Lord to mercy them, had a horse with John Joe O'Neill, and it was a job. And he wanted the boys to go around all the betting shops, whatever there is, 16 or 20 betting shops. And they had about $8,000 each in readies. And the idea was, Berkey's idea was that because they were in boiler suits, they were workers, and they wouldn't get questioned when they'd go in under the radar. But to cut a long story short, the boys had arrived over for their day out in Cheltenham. I think Baba got on about 6,300. Mucky got on $7,500 or something. The horse was back from 8-1 or 10-1 into 5-2. His name will come to me now.
Did it win, though?
Did it win? It got up in the line. There was great celebrations. But the boys never got to the race in Cheltenham, but they got some touch.
Didn't get home to Saturday, like.
They got some touch.
And that's
Black Stairs Synergy or something was the horse's name. John O'Neill trained it, and Patsy's two nephews, and Willem and Noel, owned it in Huntingdon. It was a big job.
And you know what? I tell you, a good one as well. One of the first or second years we went, of course, went off the rails. It was You'll Never Walk Alone was if JP's in the ring, lads, and You'll Never Walk Alone was third in a draw. I think Best Mate might have been in the race.
Second, and
that didn't get a great reception in from me, I can tell you. and Tuesday went bad, and Wednesday we went chasing, and that went bad, and we had no money to have a bet on the bumper on the Wednesday, and we were hanging around myself and Lockie eating a chicken and chips out of a carton, and then we met a few lads from East Clare that we hurled against from Scariff, and they come over and says, "Lads, job on, Kieran Fallon owns a horse, it's in the bumper in Huntington." I says, "Come on, we've nothing to lose. What have you in your pocket? You're keeping your drinking money aside." Yeah. Up she came at 6-1. And like, God, I don't think we drank anything, only champagne for the rest of the evening.
Back in the dance floor.
Oh, rhythm is a dancer, pal. I tell you, boy, for the night. Thursday was looked after. Like.
Yeah. The wheels are back on the bike.
And we were flying home Thursday night, back to Cork anyway.
But it is gas. And it's not an Irish thing. It's a human nature thing. You can work hard for €100 a day or €1,000 a day. But if you win 50 or 60 or 150 or 160 quid off a bookmaker, it's the sweetest money that you'll have in your hand, you know, and Tweet that mentality.
Of course it is. No tax on it.
Yeah.
It's yours. All of it.
Beat the system. You could only get them to pay them constantly by a cheque. If it was nice, you could. I'll take a cheque there. It's only 400 quid. I'll take a cheque. The way we're going in the world anyway.
But it's gas, John. You must find, like, even when you were riding, but the way stories go around and rumours, and you would go to them, especially Cheltenham, and you meet fella in the street, or you meet him in the hotel, or you meet him in the shop, or whatever. You hear what Ruby said? This is, you know, working the house down, or this is no chance. Ruby said. Like, do you know what fellas do? Obviously make it up, because I know this man all my life. He'll tell you nothing. Even his own wife Gillian wouldn't know, you know. So when I hear Ruby said, or John Joe said, or Paul
said,
those
jockeys there, you could kind of say he said, and then that'll be it.
You know, tis gas. I
used to go on a Sunday, like, before the crowd would go, so no one would hear what Ruby said. You know what I mean? You wouldn't be at the meeting anyway. Yeah. And you'd hear, "I heard you said this." Or,
On that, Ruby, like, my nap going in 2005 with two more mates of mine that hurled at the club was missed that in the bumper, and we literally also lost our shirt Tuesday and all day Wednesday, and how you got up, I'll never know.
Just two of us. You got fair lucky.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Did we? And it was the gathering gloom. It was a bad old evening, and it was getting dark, as it does for the bumper anyway at times. And Jesus, we went away and bought three of those English kind of tough countrymen's hats, and we walked back into town all full of the joys of the world with what we were after collecting, like, so. And we had dockets from home as well, so everything was sorted for the rest of the week again.
And usually, like, the bumper was a good touch, like, to win it. Like, you get a good, even in the dark and the gloom, and the place be half empty, you get a good old cheer or whatever.
Oh, we stayed to cheer you in. Yeah.
The year I won on Briar Hill, 25-1.
Yeah.
I'd say I got a better cheer on a wet Thursday in Thurles.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just price, incredible. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And can you, Ruby, different for you this year, obviously you'll be flat out working TV and stuff, but could you enjoy, like, I mean, how many years did you ride there? 22?
Yeah, 98.
22 Cheltenhams.
Yeah,
so
98, yeah.
Yeah. Like, could you enjoy it, you know?
I always enjoyed the last night. We'd stay and we'd go on the tear the last night. During the week, no, you were riding. That's not to say I wouldn't have gone out and had a glass of wine at my dinner or something. I wasn't holier than thou, but no, you didn't. Even if you'd wake down to the owners and trainers and have a glass of champagne with connections, if you'd run a big winner and a glass of wine with your dinner or something, but you pretend, because they were long days. Cheltenham are long days. There's 40 minute intervals between the races. You're there in the morning riding out. They're long days.
Yeah,
I used to be wrecked. Go home and go to bed. Like, you wouldn't even be out. Like, the lads would be going out, or friends would be going out, and they'd be this pub and that pub, but I'd just be three sheets to the wind.
It changed. For jockeys, it changed. And it was Mackay.
How far can you go back now, Pat? Just on
My first was 99 or 2000. No, 99.
You're not there.
No, sorry, 89 or 90.
I was
going
to say. Jesus, Tommy there looking at each other.
Yeah, 89 or 90.
There's a rock in 89.
So it was 90. So Garrison Savannah won the Gold Cup. 1990, I'd say. That was my, but I remember Mackay. And then the greatest came along. There was a 3-day meeting at the time. We were in the Queens in East Garston, just outside Lamburn.
Yeah.
And we were out for dinner, staying with Williamson there. He had a house. And I remember having dinner one night, and Charlie Duck was there. And there was about 8 or 10 jockeys, and they were all riding. And Mackay came out with a spake, and he said, "If I don't ride a winner tomorrow," he says, "I'm just not going to get up Friday morning or whatever." And the boys kind of looked at him, and that was his mentality. He was ahead with the mentality, and the riding a winner at the Cheltenham Festival. Mm. He was the first one, And I think he brought it up, and fellas started looking at him saying, yeah, do you know what? We have to ride a winner at Cheltenham. You have to. And then along came this fella, and he brought a new level. And the whole thing changed. You don't see jockeys drinking at night time anymore because it is so serious now. And, well, they could be tested as well, of course. But it is now in their psyche, Cheltenham, ride a winner. If you don't ride a winner in Cheltenham, you're not going places. And it was Mackay and Welsh brought that to that level.
Yeah, such a unique game that way, Ruby. Like, if I win a big game, and even though the GAA has gone a bit feckin' like that now as well, like, jeez, even a few of the Clare boys went out on Sunday night. They're into the league, they topped the group, into the league semi-final, not playing for 3 weeks, and Flannan's won the Harty Cup, which is the Munster Colleges, and a few of them are teachers, and Brian said, go out and enjoy yourselves. We'll go hard now for the next 2 weeks and we'll get ready for the semi-final. And social media, like Monday evening, had, yeah, you know, just shocking stuff, like, really, when I think back to my time. Like,
yeah, but even the old time, they talked like, you want to be human. Like, we would go out on the Friday night in Cheltenham, and or Thursday night, then it became Friday night, and we'd give it a good run. I mean, at the end of the day, all the sports people, the Clare hurlers, jockeys, whoever they are, Dublin footballers, you're human.
Yeah.
What is, like, if you're going to play this and enjoy it, now the biggest week of the year, if you can't celebrate it, what's the point in doing it?
So you're entitled to a release at the end of it. You're building up for so long to it. You're entitled to have a go.
I often wonder, like, and I saw it with the rugby lads, I often wonder, like, with the way the GAA has gone in particular, and it's almost like taboo. How could you? Why are you not training the next day? Like, if one release and a day off or 2 days off nearly makes things more productive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I'm a big believer in that, don't worry. To be preaching and to convert me. Tommy, when you first went over, like, were you working straight away? Or you just
It's the exact opposite to being a jockey. The first year I was into racing since a very, very young kid, and I was living in a part of Dublin where there wouldn't have been much racing. So I just loved horse racing. I'm not sure why. I think my parents enjoyed a small bet and that sort of stuff. But the first time I was really excited about going to Cheltenham was 99, and we arrived over on the Monday. And we stayed with a young couple. Like, they were renting out rooms in a house. There was three of us staying there. And we arrived over in Cardiff, went to the Royal Oak, I think it was the Irish Oak or the Royal Oak in Cheltenham, and we drank for the day. I mean, we drank for the day. We had our bags with us, the whole lot. We went back to the house. Back to the house we were staying in, handed in the bags. This woman had a dinner made for us, lovely, whatever it was. I couldn't taste it anyway. Straight back out again, and I swear to God, by the time I got to Cheltenham the following day, the Tuesday, my first time in the place, I was dying for it. I could hardly stand out. I was exhausted. I never realised there's so many bloody hills in it.
Yeah.
I walked in and out to the parade ring a couple of times, and like you now, Anthony, the Mandarin Bar was a place
bar.
I spent a fair bit of time that week.
And Leo Harvey laying the bets.
I slipped.
Leo, if I've hung you to try, now you owe the taxman a lot of money from that. Of course, you never went past the fiver, Leo, if you're listening. Yeah, another year, I tell you, I had a bad experience one of the last years I was there. It was Joe Chambers, as you know him well, Ruby, Rich Ritchie's right-hand man.
Fellow Clare man.
Yeah, Clare Rush man. It was Joe's 28th birthday.
He had a good few with him.
He's on 20. I thought it was his 30th. And I just checked it with him last night, my 28th. I said, geez, we're stuck on 28 for a good few years, Joe. But we arrived good and early anyway on the Tuesday. And I was doing Tuesday and Wednesday. We were staying in Birmingham, myself and just one mate of mine, Stephen Sheedy. Johnny Callan was with him, and Johnny says, we better get a drop of champagne for Chambers, his birthday. And so this pink champagne arrived out, and the Mandarin. And because I can't really drink champagne, like, I wasn't brought up with it or anything like that, you know what I mean? And I was drinking it like old bad lager Sufferance. That you get over there. Like Colomini said, and the way he filled it. And of course, I enjoyed the Supreme Novices. I saw the Arkle, but I was in a taxi back to Birmingham for the Champion Hurdle. And I had 5 hours sleep by the time Sheedo got back to Birmingham. And I fresh as a daisy, and he well canoodled. Come on, it's only 8 o'clock. Oh, stop it. We'll do it to you, wouldn't it? If you just fell in with the wrong crowd or go the wrong way. Or it's, we're in Cheltenham, we're on our holidays. You know, it's just.
Sounds like Royal Ascot.
Yeah, well,
gone wrong.
I love Royal Ascot.
So do I. Yeah, I would Royal Ascot socially. I enjoy Royal Ascot for that reason. But I can't just imagine Cheltenham being that way, even for me this year.
No, I see you're working, and I'd be the same as him. I actually don't have a drink at all next week. Once I leave the stall Monday morning and get back, please God, Friday night, I won't have a drink because it's so big. It's our busiest week. and all your contracts, all your clients are looking for pictures, and you can't do it with a bad head.
And Tommy is right, there's so much walking into place.
Yeah.
I was going last year, I got a fall on Turles and broken metatarsal in my foot, and I was thinking, like, how am I going to get around Cheltenham now in this? I was riding, it was grand once you were riding, but walking is the sort of thing. So I got a bike. And I was thinking this year, like, I was looking up bike shops in Cheltenham the other day, see if I could hire a bike for the week. Even cycle in and out, down to the different things you have to do. Like, it's just a camel hike to walk around.
You rang me last year, we were to do a piece on the Monday, and whatever, anyway, I could hardly hear you. There was a bit of a buzz in the press room on the Monday. You said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm up in the press room." He said, "Come down to me. I'm in the parade ring in a minute." I went down and I saw this vision. I thought it was Lance Armstrong. So I was cycling around the parade ring.
I tell you, I got one for next week as well. Yeah. Best thing of all.
Yeah, yeah.
And where would you stay? Would you take a house in the town?
We used to take a house in, not in the town, in the car park. There was a holiday village, or a holiday...
The hunting boats.
Hunting boats. There was loads of holiday cottages. But as time moved on, the Hanks has let them... most of them are now on long-term lets. There's only three of them on short-term lets. So we got turfed out. Obviously, Gordon Elliott was paying more than the rest of us, so he got the one that was left. And we got turfed out. But I actually got one just at the back of the stable yard on the other side. But I stay as close as possible to the track, and I used to stay a lot with AP when I was in England, but I couldn't bring myself to stay with him during Cheltenham purely because of traffic just wrecks my head, having to factor in 2 hours or 3 hours for traffic going in and coming out. So I used to stay within walking distance, as close as I could.
It's gassed, like, the whole difference of when you were there first time. When did you start working there then?
I can't even remember. I worked with the Evening Echo before I ever started with the Examiner, and I went over, but I can't even remember, to be honest about it. I always found it takes a lot of the enjoyment out of it. You still celebrate it, and we're lucky over in the press room has probably the best viewing area in the entirety of Cheltenham. It's brilliant, isn't it, Pat?
It is a good spot.
You've been there.
Yeah,
it's superb.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic.
You're on the winning line.
Yeah, but it's just, like you said, I might have two drinks on Friday night. By the time I get back to the hotel on Friday night, because I fly out on Saturday, but before that, you couldn't. There's just too much to do.
And everything now, Anthony, is instant. Like from a reporter's point of view, Twitter or the Examiner ringing me saying, they could ring at 10 to 11, listen, we're going to push the button here. Have you got a picture of Tommy Lyons and Robbie Welsh?
Well, they're fair demanding here, right?
But you know, and everything is instant because they want organized. And there's no point in me saying, I'm in the Golden Valley Hotel having a pint, lads, I'm off. Yeah. You're never off.
Yeah.
You're not off anymore. That's the world we live in.
What's that now, Pat? The Golden Valley? That's where I stayed, actually. That's 99. Well,
that's it now.
It was the Thistle for a while. Is it something else now?
That's the one up beside the motorway.
Yeah.
Up by the road. Sure, it's in Birmingham.
Yeah.
That's a great meeting up spot. I remember one
but
of the first
the
years
place.
Again.
It was that huge was the back Golden there. Valley, yeah.
We stayed up in Wychcombe with Johnny Callanan and a few of his Wexford mates. Yeah. Two of us were able to bunk in, and that was the spot to go back to. I remember meeting Nick English and Michael Dignan and a few fellas like that. Niall Quinn was with them.
Yeah.
It's great.
The Golden Valley Hotel had the best game of pitch and toss in Ireland and England during Cheltenham Week.
List all boys
again,
up the front.
Eric Brown. It was Eric Brown and Michael Tabor. Mr. Tabor's horse, Royal Derby.
Royal Derby, yep.
So you're going back 94, are you? 94.
Yeah, that was 94, yeah, but that would be.
Yeah,
nice,
and of course, they were up in JP's box at Cheltenham, and the party carried on, and they all ended up back in the Golden Valley. And Michael Tabor and Eric went to war, and it was, pitch and toss, close to the wall. Yeah. And it was a grand, and it ended up anyway 5 grand. No, it wasn't. Eric wasn't paying the 5 grand, but those fellas had a piece of it. It was like the stock exchange.
I was going to say, no, it was more like being at the Corson, and everyone had a piece of it, like against one fella.
Yeah, that was it. And there was no mobile phones, but I'd love to have had a camera in my hand that night. It was some picture now. Eric Brown and Michael Tabor going to war with pitch and toss.
Oh, yeah, I tell you a fair one now, and you mentioned him early, and you called him Christy Walsh. I was calling him, like, you know, with the pub, and what's it, the drop
the
in?
Well.
The well.
Christy's the well.
And we got to meet Christy over there 1 year, and then we met him a couple of times, and one night we were down a few quid and we wound up in the Queen's for some reason. He must have been staying there, and we got taxis out there, and it was great crack. And I just, Fergie Lachlan with me, who was a right fitter than me, a couple of years younger than me, and he was a right lad to run, and he's still number one in Clare and squash, and he's 48 years of age now. He took on Christy jumping tables and chairs, and you'd want to see the money that was exchanged, lads. Yeah. I tell you, it was a table, like a coffee table with chairs on top of that, and you had a good run across the stage to get over it. It was like the puissance at the Dublin Horse Show.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, lads, like I was thinking of doing a book on it, like, but then I decided, oh Jesus, you'll lose your short here. So they were having bets with each other, the Clare Flair, the Kerry fella, and Lockie looked a fair bit fitter than Christy now. But he wasn't getting over it, and I had to go into him, take him into behind the curtains on the stage and say,
"Have a little chat.
Picture yourself getting over it, kid. We need this. We're down.
This
we're
is
down.
For the county.
We're down. This is for the village. We're down.
Knows me county."
I says, "That Kerry crow going to bear us here, like." But the madness of the place, like, and another quickie, and I'll finish with stories on the place of this. The last year I was there, nine of us took two apartments. How we got them, we paid a good bit for them in the city centre, and there was this little English pub across the road from us, and we arrived on the Monday night. They had a pool table, and you know the Monday night can be a bit funny over there, and we went into town, had a bit of crack, and we played a few games of pool. But then all awake early with the excitement Tuesday morning, so the nine of us across to the pub anyway, the old bacon sandwich and a pint with it, and we started playing pool. But the next thing anyway, someone knocked up this tournament doubles. Someone set out, and there was four teams and playoff version, two semi-finals and a final. And of course, by the time it was the best of three, by the time the final came around anyway,
the Supreme Novices is over.
Yeah, well, no, we were tight, but we were the pub had filled up though, and lots of Irish, lots of English in there anyway. But before the final anyway, I decided I'd launch into Oran Naveen, and lads, and it was only for the eight of us, for the crack, like. Well, there was lads from Derry, Donegal, Galway, stood to attention completely as if it was the All-Ireland final in Croker. And we just, well, I started laughing in the middle of the national anthem with the effect we were having on the absolute camaraderie of the Irish over there. Yeah. Like, we were going to show them. It's where it was two English lads we were meeting in the final of this five-a-man pool tournament. The absolute madness of the week. It's great, yeah. But it is great. It's, you're going, and anything kind of goes, and that's the way of it, I suppose.
But there was even the poker games back then. They were of legend, but great names that back in the day, and the cash to be on the table in the Golden Valley, and you see the mountain of cash and fellas playing for, they were playing for 20, 30, 40 grand, and they stayed there all day. They saw no racing, but they went over because they knew that you were going to be there and I was going to be there. And
yeah, it's
different,
like,
times.
It's like going to Clonmel, as Ruben mentioned, the coursing, and lads call it telecoursing. They go down for the 3 days and they don't see a dog. Yeah. You know. I suppose, lads, we could tell yarns about the thing for the day, Tommy. You haven't revealed too much there. I've revealed too much. But anyway, look, at I would be the first to admit when I went there, I enjoyed it anyway. And if I get back there someday, I mightn't be as fit as I should be to enjoy it. But it is a massive racing week as well, I suppose. And, you know, I'd have to pick your brains, lads, because, you know, I'm a bit removed now from, I have a few old fancies down the line, but just to look at, you know, the championship races, maybe, in a few of the other, the novices and that kind of thing, and the handicaps, I suppose everyone, I think a lot of the small punters like the handicaps, don't they? They usually lose their shirt. We often ran a bus out to my pub in West Clare, out to Marty Brown's on the Friday, and we go a third each on the book, and we'd have two lads that would stay reasonably sober and were good at maths at school doing the book, and you could be called to the toilet literally at 8 o'clock that night, and they're still betting on Wolverhampton, and there's your share, and it'd be substantial, like, and all you'd be doing is serving porter for a while and then coming out behind the counter and drinking porter for a while. And, you know, amazing how lads are so caught up in the handicaps. But then, of course, if you click, you're probably getting a big price. But,
I hope your sister gets a good chance to listen to all these.
But they do, that's before they go live. They've caught up. People do run away with themselves. Like,
Pat, I've a mate that will have a bet on every one of the 28 races.
And he mightn't have a bet again till.
No, he's disciplined in most things. Like,
but like, it makes me laugh. And the newspapers go mad on it, the red tops, as they call them. It's the only meeting now in the racing industry. It's wall to wall coverage. But all the newspapers send colour reporters. Like, you're doing the racing, but they send a colour reporter, and it's.
But you still encourage anybody to go if they haven't experienced it. Just go there.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Phenomenal.
If you never saw a horse in your life,
makes the buzz. Makes no difference.
But there is something for everybody in it, too. Mm. Now, it's obviously not a place for kids, but it is. There is something like it.
Sure, there's a shopping village there. There's about 500 shops. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is. Women, ladies will enjoy it. There's a great ladies' day. On the Wednesday, isn't it? Wednesday's ladies day.
Thursday,
is it? Yeah,
and we pay a lot of attention to it.
It's home. Betting shops.
500 shops in that shopping village.
In the Vendor Bear, no?
Have you ever got beyond the solid structure to any of the temporary structures in Cheltenham? No.
We went down to the Guinness Village one year and I thought it was a bit too crowded. All these English was thinking poor Guinness was good Guinness and I decided, nah, go back
to the Manager Bar for was good Guinness.
It was comfortable there and we could slip out the side door and down to cheer you in when you were coming in and, you know, you're coming in on the fly.
Sorry for disturbing you.
Magic. No, magic. They're brilliant moments, like, you know. And it takes so long. People at home, I suppose the TVs might go to an ad and you're coming back and you're nearly in.
But you'd have a pint drank by the time you get back down. Yeah, you would.
The anticipation and all that is brilliant.
Does it take that long?
About 8 minutes, I think, isn't it? But when you have the interview done,
that's
with
the stall rate of drinking now.
At the top of the hill, sir.
Yeah.
I think by the time you have the interview done and by the time you walk back into the parade ring, someone said, is it 8 minutes?
It could be. It's funny, I never thought of it that way. Like, and then again, you're right, because back in and whatever interviews you'd have to do, go back in, weigh out for your next one, presentation. Yeah, you'd be tight to get to the ring for the next race. So, yeah.
And especially, I always notice with you, because you what did you write, 59 of them, is
59
it? In fairness, like, but I, the last few years I noticed with you used to breathe it in because you realise, well, I'm not going to be doing this for the rest of my life, and I would see you after taking a photograph at the top of the hill, and I would see you, you'd walk down and you were always looking into the crowd, always. I'd like, after you'd say well done to the groom or whoever it was, but he used to take it in because, and you were right.
This is an incredible sight.
Because you're going over this year. You're going over this year and you're just like, do you know what I mean? You're the rest of us. You're working. welcome to life.
Yeah, how will you deal with that, Rube? You know, it's like the first year I finished with Clare 202 thinking, the good years are over anyway, and next thing they were in the All-Ireland final at the end of the year. Like.
Well, I never thought the good years were over, but I was over. It had finished for me, but Willie said it's a strong hand, but I walked away from Paul Nicholls knowing he had good horses and there were going to be winners that I was going to leave behind, but nothing lasts forever. And to be honest, since I retired, the only horse I wanted to be up on was Faheen, but I wanted to be on him from when he pulled up in Leopardstown as he walked back into the parade ring. I didn't want to be up on his back when he was heading down the back straight jumping the fences. I was finished with riding. I'm well and truly happy that I've decided not to do it anymore.
Yeah, and once you're happy and it doesn't matter to you too much.
It was made for me. Yeah. I was punching in time at the end.
What moments do you remember best?
Cheltenham. Oh, Comanche definitely. Yeah. Winning when Dad trained him and he let him up. Alexander Banquet obviously. We're winning Blowing Wind then because Alexander Banquet won in 98, but Blowing Wind didn't win until 2002. And that was my next winner. Then I was started riding for Paul and Deserti up won the Arkle. And after that, then the good one, the big ones. I remember if I sat here and said I could recall every race and how I rode them, if you so wished. But there's no need. Like masterminded, jumping the water, jumping the champion chase, getting to the front, thinking I'm going to be a front too soon, but realizing at that stage everything else was beat. It was really like riding a walkover. Carter obviously in the Gold Cup, Big Bucks, Cree Vega, Annie Power, Hurricane Fly, Faheen, Vatour, Duvan, Undersoul. Like, they were incredible horses. There was different days you got a better kick out of than others. I got a huge kick today, Alpha off Hurricane Fly and Hurricane and Cree Vega won. I was back from injury. You know, Paul had been riding Hurricane Fly and plenty of people and plenty of my now colleagues, your colleagues always, were doubting whether Willie should have put me on Hurricane Fly, and they were chipping and digging and always digging, and Willie decided to put me on him and Paul put me back on Alfaroff, and when the three of them won, I remember getting off thinking
yeah,
you know, and I got a great kick that day, and even the day then that the Thursday they'd all gotten beaten Tuesday and Wednesday whilst no one had the balls to say to you like, or what's wrong with the horses, or you're riding stink. You could get the vibe off everybody that Willie's horses were sick and Cherubi is doing this. And to go out on the Thursday then and ride a four-timer, you get satisfaction.
John B. Keane won right, sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But go back there, with all the success and all the big names, Jesus, when you list them off like that, like it's a who's who of big names. But if you could ride one that got away again.
Comanche Court in the Gold Cup.
Against Best Mate.
Yeah.
Why?
All day, every day. I missed, made the wrong decision.
Go on, tell us.
Down the hill to the third last, and Seymour Business was in front. Can't remember what had gone along on the pace with him. It starting, looks like trouble was starting to drop off. And Jim was down the inner on Best Mate, Jim Cullard. He jumped the third last. Looks like trouble was starting to fade. And Jim slips through on looks like trouble's inner. And Joe Tizard went forward and over to the railing. So I had to come around looks like trouble. And as I was coming to Best Mate, I was thinking, will I sit and put him in the pocket or will I keep going? I was getting a bit of momentum on Comanche Court and I was thinking, it's all split seconds. I'd won an Irish National. The only doubt in Best Mate was the trip. So I kept going. Got up on the outside of Seymour Business off the bend, down to the second last, gone to the front. Comanche half pricked his ears and made a bit of a mistake. But in doing so, I drifted right and so did Joe Tizard and let Best Mate sail straight through
up
on the inside. And then a bit slow at the last, could beat a length and a half. If I tactically had just sat, got to Joe Tizard's boot, pushed him tight to the rail, kept Jim Cullity in the pocket. There was more than a length and a half in the manoeuvre I made. And that was one I should have won.
And as a jockey, at that stage of your career, to when you finished, do you develop more as a jockey mentally?
Oh,
because physically you're more or less the same, but mentally, did you come on a couple of pounds?
Physically, because of injury, I probably wasn't as stylish when I was finishing as I was when I was starting.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the same rotation in my shoulders. I didn't, my hips, I broke one dislocated the other day. And there was a lot of work to keep them all moving. But
the question I'm saying is,
tactically, I was way sharper.
Right. Obviously, he's finishing up. Yeah. Like, so if that race happened 5 more years into your career, you probably would have made the right decision.
Without doubt.
Yeah.
Now that's experience, but in hindsight, it's a poor man's foresight. But it was still a tactical call, and it was one I thought about as I was making it. I just chose the wrong one.
What did your father say to you when you came in?
He didn't say anything. He was delighted with the horse that ran so well. But I'd say he realised, like I had, it was a Gold Cup. The chances were I might get on another Gold Cup horse. The chance of him finding another Gold Cup horse were slim. Now, he could still come across a Gold Cup horse. But the one certainty is I won't ride it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So that would have been special, yeah. Mm. That's the one I would
choose. And would you feel, I know that's a tactical thing, rule, but, what happened with Annie and Benny, like, just happened, horses fall. Do you feel worse after those than when you say, God, I got that wrong?
No, they fell. That's not something you can control. If I rode either of them back down to that hurdle right now,
I'd ride
them down the same way.
Yeah.
That's how you ride, tactically. Any power took off the stride too early. But I didn't ask her to take off. I was the opposite. I was sat against her, not wanting her to take off. She took off and didn't quite get high enough. Now, if she could do the same thing another 50 times, and all she needed was another couple of millimetres in elevation, and she'd have got there. But she didn't get the elevation when she took off, and I still don't know how Benny DeJou felt.
Well, that's funny you say that, because I actually I backed Roxanna without Benny last year, and I saw Benny take off and looked away to see where Roxanna was, because I was sure you were over the last and it was all over. So I actually saw it taking off and going, yeah, that's one. Mm-hmm. Looked away, and next thing I couldn't, there was another, the crowd going, oh, a big freaking, and you were down on the ground. I couldn't believe it, even looking back at it.
And I'd say she got caught out because she was an 8-year-old. She jumped so many jumps in her life. I'd say she never made a mistake in her life.
Mm.
I'd say she didn't know how to react to it. She tripped and didn't know how to put out her feet. That's all that happened to her. But that's an adamant approach, like you were talking about, like a butterfly there. He fell at the last in the Supreme going to beat like a butterfly. That happens. But how many did you ride down there that you hurdled at the last and rode down like it wasn't there that won?
Yeah. But you must mentally then, to pick yourself up, say, any power the first day that year, like mentally, and now the world we live in with social media, and you get abused by anonymous people and...
Yeah, but you get up, Pat, and you go to the environments
that you're comfortable in, yeah.
So I got up, I had won the Supreme, the Arkle, and the Champion Hurdle. So I went for dinner with Willie.
Right.
Self, Willie, David, Jackie, Gillian, James Nash, the usual gang. We went for dinner. Like, we'd had a treble. Yeah, he'd still won the Mayor's Hurdle, Glenn's Melody had won, but we went for dinner. And then
those couple of hours, you get yourself back in a good
Wednesday.
Place.
Wednesday, got to go again. You go again. It's all about yeah. Wednesday. And then no winner Wednesday, Vatour won Thursday. Yeah. I ended up writing five winners. I can't remember what the fifth one was, but you just got to go again.
Yeah. But surely the moments where they were singing Ruby, 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 like, I mean, the few hairs I had were standing like that on my head. Like, it must have been sensational for you out there. Like.
Ah, it is. And it's incredible. Like, you turn back on different horses, especially. Mm. And even when a couple of times when you'd ridden one or two and you got on a roll, and you knew the whole place was following, punting wise, was following you. And a couple of years I rode 7 winners, every time you rode the seventh one, they were lifting the roof.
Yeah, I never experienced anything like it in all the race courses I got around the world. It's to the tune to this. Who sang the song?
Kaiser Chiefs.
Kaiser Chiefs. Yeah. It was like the Kaiser Chiefs were in the stand in Cheltenham singing Ruby, Ruby, Ruby. And your man is just looking up, smiling, and it was unbelievable.
And that's what makes it so sad that the people who will come up with conspiracy theories about Andy Power and Benny the Jew will have such a voice, or well, their opinion gets so far these days. Because if you were there at Cheltenham for the last 10 years, you don't remember Andy Power, Benny the Jew, because you remember what happened, the real highlights. I said it to you that time. I think I interviewed you for the Examiner at the time about that Ruby, 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 that time, Pat. It was just for me alone, and I can't imagine what it was like for you.
Incredible. Yeah.
Like, and unlike Jay Pat losing the North Kerry final or winning it in your case, you know, where you know racing so instant, and as you say, so like you might have to come back and go up and ride in the Midlands last National is the day after
on a Saturday. Yeah.
You know, like there's no time, is there? No. There is just no time to wallow
till you get older. Then you decide that you know what.
Yeah.
You toxter's just not for me.
Yeah, but leave again, that to AP.
When you are that age. Hey, lads, and it's like the Liverpool soccer team at the minute that winter break. That was the killing of them, boys. They're down off the buzz.
The wheels are falling off the bike. It's going to be
He hates Liverpool anyway, but
it's going to be a more spectacular crash than Liverpool, than Newcastle.
It's like a jockey riding winners, and you want to roll onto you toxter, and you want to come back for Limerick on the Sunday. And you're hoping Ballinrobe is on Monday and you'll go to Sligo because you're riding winners every day.
Yeah, I'd be in Cheltenham like in 4 days wouldn't be enough, and you'd be looking around to wear them, and there would be lads with their bag packed before racing the start on Friday that couldn't wait for you Toxeter on Saturday to get the hell out of Cheltenham.
Yeah,
they'd be having that bad a week, they'd want to change. Yeah. And you see it in Galway, there'd be lads in Galway by Friday that would want to be anywhere else but going back to Galway. They'd be having that.
So would you be in favour of this 5 day Cheltenham Rubes they're all talking about?
Now I'm finished riding, I think it'll happen in a business sense, and Pat, I tell you, from being involved in running the race course, and Cheltenham is Jockey Club race courses. There's 14 race courses, more, whatever many race courses they have. But Cheltenham is the
lifeline,
the earner. Mm-hmm. It's keeping the rest of them, and you need Exeter, and you need Warwick, and you need Carlisle, and you need all those other courses as feeder tracks to Cheltenham. But Cheltenham is propping them up financially. So if it has to be a 5 day festival to keep it all going, the only thing I would hope Cheltenham would do is limited at 30 races.
Okay, so spread out the races.
5, 6 will be 30. There's going to be a 29th race next year anyway. And they're talking about eliminating one. That's only the creation of one more race. I would be for that. But I don't know, is Saturday the answer? I think maybe Monday could be the answer. I think Saturday, when you look at Cheltenham, and racing was so quick to do it, to go from midweek to weekend. You see it, Pat, with the Kerry National in Listowel. It is centre of attention on Wednesday.
On the Wednesday.
And you run it on a Saturday, you're lost in Ireland with all the GA that's on or whatever else is on. Yeah. You keep going midweek, you're avoiding all of them. And sports columnists have very little to write about in the middle of the week. I see it now doing a radio show. And you get to Wednesday, by jeez, you're scraping around looking for something to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you have
the weekend is packed.
I suppose we'd better have a quick look at a few races, lads.
We have to.
Really?
Terrible looking at them.
You probably bore. I watched the one from the Goat last night, as I said earlier. And, you know, it just was all who'll win this, who'll win that. And it's hard, isn't it? So many.
But you know what? And that's what drives me mad now about the previews. Don't tell me what'll win.
Yeah.
Now, these days, you can a bit of information what won't win. That's as good to you. Because of that machine, the Betfair.
Yeah.
So, I hear fellas arguing their opinions over why this horse will win, why that. I just love someone to stand up and say,
That's grand, Pat.
This won't win.
That's grand, Pat. But I still ride out for Willie Mullins. And if I'm to stand up and say, that won't win.
I'm not talking about you now.
I can't do that. I mean. And you're not looking for the one that won't win.
Huh?
Well, looking for the one.
It's as good to me as telling me one that will win.
Yeah, but you're on about the likes of a Tommy kind of studying form and saying he can't see on the ground, and around Cheltenham that he would.
The likes of the Arkle. I'd be mad keen to take on Notebook. He's favoured, but it just the preliminaries might get to him. They did a bit at Leopardstown. Maybe it's overplayed. I'm sure Henry will do whatever he can. But like, I'd be mad keen to take him on.
Mm-hmm. The big races, lads, have we? They look open. I would have thought, compared to other years, especially the big two, I suppose, with the hurdle and starting with the hurdle, I suppose, just looks very weak Irish-wise, doesn't it?
I suppose, like, look, Keila
Shemin. Benny have gone there, Ruby?
No, she's not a two-miler, not related to a two-miler. Never has been. And even her walk at home, the further she goes, the better she is. You could argue maybe the Stairs hurdle, if you wanted to. To me, you never look a gift horse in the mouth. And I think she's mare's hurdle written all over. And Willie will look at her and he will think Benny the Jew, Cheltenham, Punchestown and Autoy. He's looking at 3 days, not one.
Yeah.
You're looking at one day. Or people are looking at one day, not you. So you're accusing you of it. People are looking at one day. Oh, we want the matchup with Paisley Park. That matchup might happen to Punchestown. Willie's looking at the longevity of it rather than throwing him in on one day. So that's why she runs in the mayor's hurdle. And herself and Honeysuckle will be a great clash. But I think the champion hurdle is wide open. But I do think Nikki's mare, Nikki Henderson's mare, Epitant, she jumped shocking in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle last year. Her jumping has improved considerably this year. I think she'll be hard to beat in that.
I saw Barry being interviewed and he just said she didn't handle it at all last year. And I think McFitz had told me that it was his nap of the week and she just didn't handle the whole, you know, razzmatazz and I suppose the extra compared to anywhere else.
And if you're taking her on, if you want to take her on this year, you can take her on the basis that maybe she just won't handle it because it's Cheltenham and because it's a big, you know, big Ferrari around it, whatever. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe she'd be absolutely perfect and she'd go win doing handstands. She wouldn't really be for me. Pentland Hills I'd prefer. I know he's a bit his finishing effort hasn't been great this year, but he did.
That's mild though, isn't it?
Yeah, probably is. But he did win a Triumph Hurdle. I don't know. I find it a tough race. I wouldn't be like Silas Emery's has been supplemented.
We're talking about it because it's their champion hurdle. But like if you're looking at it from, and even now in my new job or even what Tommy does, like they're far easier races to tell people to have a bet in than the champion hurdle. I think it's a minefield. Like sure, if Tommy's on about the Arkle, at least there's three live ones in the Arkle. My preference would be for Fakir Dudari because I think the other two will suit him. I think Shishkin in the first, if you're giving me a blank canvas, he's the one I ride. The champion hurdle, I'd want about five goes now picking the winner of this.
Yeah.
Like there's a horse in there, 12-1 Darver Star. A year ago, I'd say it was March time, he was beaten off 106 and now he's
he went 45 now.
He's fourth favourite, fifth favourite. For a champion hurdle.
Yeah, well, no, hang on. He won around Listowel. He won at the Harvest Festival. Well,
that's a quality.
He's got it in the book. The Listowel Harvest Festival.
I tell you about book. He got beaten one of those unplays rated maiden hurdles. That just goes show you 106 how far
a horse can go. Yeah. So would you say it's a poor champion hurdle?
I don't know. Can you call it poor? Because last year it was supposed to be a wide open race yet, and we had a brilliant winner who sadly is not back there this year. But if you're looking at Tuesday, if you said to me, here, Ruby, you're back riding, what do you want to get on? I'd be going with Shishkin. I'd love to have a go on Fakir Dudari's. The champion hurdle, I couldn't pick the winner of it. The handicap chase never interested me when I was riding. It certainly doesn't interest me now. Then you have the mayor's hurdle. I'd love to be on Benny. And if I could get out an amateur's license when all that was done, I'd ride carefully selected in the National Hunt Chase.
Yeah, all right.
That's the one.
That's Tuesday covered.
just on the Supreme, just two quick questions because there was a lot of money the other day for Asterion for Lange, which I thought... I'm not so sure. 3-1, 11-4 now. And also Berkshire Royal, who hasn't yet run for Willie, is still involved.
He's running, yeah. He's running. Big ask. He'll want to be Hurricane Fly to win the champion, to win a Supreme with no run, in my opinion.
Willie's not a fool, though. Willie's not leaving him in there just for the sake of it.
No, he's not. No, but he's... Point you this way now, Tommy. If I was still first jockey, I'd be riding the grey horse.
And the one I like is Chantry House, just for interest. It's around about 7-8-1, I think. It has won around Cheltenham, hasn't yet been fully tested. I like the way it quickened to win the last day without having too hard a race. Maybe it's not as proven as Shishkin or maybe as Asterion for Lange, but I think it's a serious horse.
For you working on Tuesday, what's the dream result? You're at the top of the hill.
Obviously an Irish winner. Obviously I was an Irish winner. Liam, my brother Liam works with me. He does the last hurdle. We cover that. I do the winning line. And now what's a good picture is the jockey celebration shot. People like to see that. You know that they stand at the top of the hill and you put your hands up and you get a nice picture with the stands in the background. But No, I'm looking for Irish winners the whole time, really, because that's what my contracts, that's what my clients are looking for that evening. But no, there's a Cork man now at the first race, and Joe Donnelly, the ex-Cork bookmaker. Should it be great if Joe got, if one of them won from Sheskin or what's the other horse?
And his first trained one in English gent run.
Yeah, it's fairly sporting of him to let the two of them run in the race, in fairness. Yeah. John Joe Walsh used to train Fiddler on the Roof. He's a fair horse.
Yeah. JP did the same. Sheskin and my 10 to yours. People can often let them take them at Joe Ron. It's Cheltenham. It's safety in numbers.
Yeah, but Joe Donnelly doesn't have a couple of hundred horses, in fairness to him. Like he could have just maybe just asked one of the trainers to maybe put one of them into the Ballymore, maybe. But yeah, it is good because they are two fantastic. They look really good horses. There are about probably five races this year that you're really, really, really looking forward to. That, the Ballymore, the Champion Chase looks absolutely phenomenal. The Mayor's Hurdle to see Honeysuckle taking on Benny DeJew, that's fantastic. And the Triumph Hurdle, I think, is going to be one of the races of the week.
Yeah, a lot of people are looking at a few previews and they're talking about the Triumph being more quality than...
Well, they could be Champion Hurdle horses. Time.
Yeah, but it's interesting what Ruby said there about Puppy Power. And Puppy probably is the one lad now that has a leg in both camps with his job at the minute. And if Puppy reckons... Puppy's not slow now.
No, a good judge.
And if he thinks that the English novices or the English farmers a bit better than...
With the exception of Envoy Allen.
Yeah, it'd be... It's
would Puppy
it'd
be riding Goshen in the...
No,
Triumph,
Jamie Moore ride him. Puppy be riding Fiddler on the Roof in the...
Do you need Tony Mullins was fair about this Goshen? Can't be beaten in the previous...
Yeah, that's fine. But I just watched him back the other night, like, and he's winning Ascot, jumping out to his right, made a few mistakes, made a bit sloppy in Sandown the day he won. I think... Again, to me, I would put the Triumph in with the Champion Hurdle. I can't see you betting it. And I would throw the Champion Chase in there as well. Anyone at three. When the Champion Chase is over, if Alti or Shaq and Bourgeois or Defi de Sceaux have won, you're going to be saying, I can see how that happened. And the same with the Triumph. Yeah. If All Mankind, Solo, Goshen or Henry's
would
horse...
Would you be worried about Chacken's jumping? That's what I've listened to.
That's his strongest point.
There you go, listen to these previews, like, you know, fellas.
Would you be any concerned about...
If he doesn't win
him?
A jumping, he won't win it.
What about finishing up the hill?
I don't know, but I think jumping, and with the way the course is now in Cheltenham, the old course, the two fences in the home straight, you come off the last bend in Cheltenham, it's five, maybe six strides to the second last, and it's a real attacking fence. That'll suit Shaq and Bourgeois. That, and the last is close enough. Like, two jumps there could get you just far enough.
You're hoping he can steal a length or two at that point, yeah.
I'd be hoping 2-2.
Yeah, would he want to be two ahead of Altior?
The way Altior finishes, you would.
Yeah, Altior gets into a battle, he finds a bit.
And the more Nico gets after him, the more he seems to find. I mean, he's starting to remind me of Hurricane Fly. The older Hurricane got, the less flashy he got. But he just had that habit of still winning. And Altior's doing the same thing.
He doesn't tend to get away from his fences. He doesn't not like a Champion Chaser.
He dwells in the air a bit and lands a bit slower. But just has that habit, Tommy, of putting his nose in front.
He's class.
And the Ryanair, Ruby, a lot of talk. Plutard, Henry's.
Heard a good one this morning. There's a lad working in Henry's. There's a friend of Willie's in this morning. He was walking around the yard and he says, it was in Henry's the other morning. The lad says, I asked him what the horse was called. He says, I can't really pronounce it, he says, but it sounds like Appletard. A Plutard. I think, and having ridden Min a lot throughout his career and had a lot of success on him, I'm not certain about him finishing strong enough in Cheltenham. Mm. And I think for that reason, the Plutarch could beat him.
Yeah. Fried on being the other. Maybe
he's I have to think this year's race is a better race.
Better race. Much better race. Appletard would be, to me, would be different class. And Min, but I think like that, I wouldn't like to be facing into Min again. I took a chance on him against Shaq and Pursuit Christmas, and I just wasn't mad about him. He never, like, he jumps a little bit high. Maybe he'd be fine around Cheltenham, but he just, to me, I don't know, the finishing effort, I wasn't mad about it.
Okay, we've three of the four sorted. The Blue Ribbon Droop, you know, Album. Running Tremore again. Yeah, for a hurling team now, it would be a weird way to be getting ready for the championship, wouldn't it?
But that's because all those hurling teams and football teams are all overtrained.
Well, I'm coming around at this hour. While I was in training, I agreed with that as well. And then for a while, I was that soldier that screwed teams, and I'm beginning to come around to that line of thinking now as well. That you know you can be doing
way too much stuff. That's for
Album though.
When I'm on the GA podcast with you, we'll have that route. But Album has only one Achilles heel, and that is jumping. He gets higher behind than he does in front, and that can be an issue. horses need to stay level from in front to behind, and he does get high behind. That's his only Achilles heel. He's a very good horse. He's in great form. History, he doesn't know anything about history. He's had a great prep, and he's going there in wonderful order. And you look through the race, I think he's the upper hand on most of the opposition, bar Santini and Delta Work, who he hasn't clashed with. Yeah. And I don't know, are they good enough? But maybe they are. And the form of Albion's Gold Cup has taken a dent. Annabelle Fly was second. Third was...
Bristol Demai, wasn't it?
Bristol Demai. Neither could be classed as real Cheltenham.
Can I drag you back? Okay, can I drag you back two seasons to when you had the unfortunate fall?
Get well beaten.
Yeah, at the second last.
Yeah.
Percy had you locked up.
Oh, beat out the gate.
Right. If Percy can come back in that form, has he not got a life?
Oh, he has a life. Next Friday? He definitely has a life. And I was talking to AP earlier on today, and he fancies him. But I think 2 years is a long time in anyone's life, let alone a horse's life. And in the 2 years, Albion Photo has gone in one direction, mm-hmm. and for my money, Presenting Percy seems to have gone in the other.
Okay,
yeah. For my money, I think he's become a horse that has too many excuses. They didn't go soon enough in one race. They went too early in another race. To my mind, just won't get him home in front.
In even the form, Dale, of his Galmai hurdle win last year, the longer that goes on, the weaker that's looking too. So I don't know. He'd be a great winner for Pat Kelly.
Hang on, we just have Pat on the line now. Oh, no, sorry.
PG wouldn't be listening.
He certainly wouldn't go talking to me. Anyway.
And people forget that, you know, Pat is a quiet man but a shrewd man. Mm-hmm. And Pat Kelly might just have had one day in his mind. He could be training him for the Gold Cup. Who knows?
I'd wish him luck, but there's no way I could possibly back him or recommend him. But if he won it, I wouldn't be the saddest man in Cheltenham. I fancy Santini. I think the preparation last year before Cheltenham wasn't right for him. I think he got maybe it was down to the preparation that he got what I would consider maybe a moderate ride. He didn't make enough use of his stamina. Maybe he couldn't. But I just think he's been prepped for this ideally. He had a wind up before he won the last day. Again, didn't have that harder race. One race in mind. He's either going to win it this year or he's not going to win it at all. And I don't think you get too many chances to win a Gold Cup. Albion Photo got into a rhythm last year that was phenomenal. And from a long way out, his only danger in the entire race, to my mind, was the horse that fell and almost brought him down. And apart from that, he was jumping like I had never seen Albion Photo jump before. He was in a rhythm. And I know we might say the form mightn't look brilliant, but he beat him up and down the street. He had it won from a long way out. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure he can get that. The shape of the race as well.
Is
the shape of the race. When you look at it now on paper, I think it's going to be 12, max 13 runners. The front runner is Bristol Demai.
No Native River
that force it on there, or might bite to force it along. There's a lack of front runners in this year's Gold Cup. You've Kenboy. Don't know, will I let him make it, or will he go fast enough?
I was going to ask you about him. Like, he sent you off but in style, and he was brilliant at the entry. Was he just not a
he went
a Cheltenham
slow
horse?
In entry, and Punchestown's a different track on quicker ground. You know, he jumps a bit to his right.
But this might go slow as well as Gold Cups.
If he gets dictating it, they'll go steady. That won't suit Santini or Albion Photo.
I'd be thinking that Santini, surely they'll ride Santini forward. Not a quick pace, but they'll have him right up there. And if somebody decides after a furlong they want to go on, and then Nico will sit. But if they don't, if he's allowed to dictate a reasonable pace, and he'll try wind it up from a mile out rather than trying to go off at a quick pace. That's the way I see it now. I'm not sure that, look, it all depends on what happens after a furlong, they'll know.
Fascinating. It's always a magic. How long does it take? 5 minutes? No, less.
A bit longer. Well, a bit more. Three and a quarter miles. 7.5, 8.
God, I watched it last year in Charlie Chalk owns the pub there now on Baggett Street. Alongside Waterloo, what's it? I wasn't even having a pint now, but the place was rocking with the Petty Powers next door, and they just.
That's a funny one. Like, I've never been at home for Cheltenham. You hear the stories when you come home. Well, we were here, the place was full, and the air was full.
Unreal.
Did it ever cross your mind, Cash?
It's the odd time, Ari, when I'd be driving back on the Friday night, you'd be tired, and you're a bit, you know what I mean? It's all over, the bubble is burst, and I do often think, do you know what, I'd love to be in Jets now, or in Mike the Pies, or Speakeasy in Killarney, and do you know what I mean?
A few pubs around Innes.
But no, listen, I'm like you. I'm not going to be going to Cheltenham all my life, and every year I go to Cheltenham now, I look into the stands and I breathe it in and breathe it out, because we're lucky to be there. We're paid to be there. How lucky are we? It's like I said to you, there's people in the stall. The boys in the stall, I meet them in Mike DePies or Jets. They're saving up all year round.
Yeah.
I'm paid to be there. It's great. It's fantastic. And it won't last forever, but that's why I'll breed it in and breed it out.
As long as we keep getting away with the cash.
Exactly, Ruby.
Yeah, I was in a pub that filled up later when Vettour gave you that amazing ride, Rubes, in the JLT. And it was the one bet I had in Cheltenham. By God, was I disciplined that year, lads. I wasn't over there. Wasn't drinking sauce. First race of the day, first pint in front of me. And I had a nice bet and... God, I think I jumped every fence with yourself and Vautour.
You could have rode him yourself.
Yeah, sit up there and relax for yourself, kid. Yeah. He probably said back to you at the start, did he?
Oh, he was just an incredible horse, an incredible jumper. And
would he have won a Gold Cup?
He might have. He might have. Would he want to go? I think he would have. I think he was as good a race horse as I rode. I'd say there's every chance he would have, yeah.
I loved him.
I know, but sure.
I know. That's racing, isn't it? Yeah, that's it racing. Is. There's the novices, and you know, I'm not going to go through every novice race now. We'd be here all night. We're going over time as it is. What jumps out at you, Tommy?
Fakir Dudery. I got a little bit outpaced last year in the Supreme, but he was only a 4-year-old. He will have his ground on the first day. There's going to be some degree of soft. You know, I think it's long odds on that it'll be precisely soft, as they're calling it. I know Ruby's going to tell us that it has dried a bit, hasn't it?
Oh, it has. I was there last week walking it. I think it'll be good to soft.
They're getting plenty of rain today now, and they're due plenty of rain up to Monday. Loads of rain up to Monday.
Well, so if I got plenty of rain up until Tuesday, I'd be quite happy to have a good bet on Fakir Dudery the first day and maybe sit in my hands for a while after that.
Enjoy the rest of the day.
Well, if he wins.
I
think Fakir is the obvious one in the Arkle. I know the weight's against him, but I just think the way the race could be run could suit him. We said Shishkin. I think Envoy Allen's if I was going there to ride in him, I'd be thinking, thank God I've one ace in the pack in here. That's the way I'd be looking at him.
That's a good race, though, Sporting John, and you've the big getaway, the big breakthrough.
From Gravy. I think the Ballymore.
Think he's an incredible.
There's no chance he'll go in the first race, the Supreme. He's 2-1 this morning.
He's going out 8-1. Is he? He's after drifting big time.
That's the 2.5-hour drive to Cork from West Clare, but it'd be easier to go across the ferry to you. Yeah, we could have had this in Listowel, but we were spanking new. Any more novices, lads? You know, the Alfred Bartlett and the Triumph Ruby, you wouldn't go near it this year?
I wouldn't for a bet. I think it's too competitive. And I would, if I was going to have a bet, then I'd probably back a wave of the sea each way. I think he'd be staying on when everything else is run its race. And the Albert Bartlett, funny race, maybe Ramsey to tie your pipes because it'll stay going longer than the rest of them, but it's hard to say he's a genuine grade one horse, but maybe you don't need to be a genuine grade one horse to win an Albert Bartlett at the times. And you know, even in some of the handicaps, I think a front view, if he gets into the Martin Pipe, if it's all going pear shaped there like it has done for a couple of years for you, Dela. Yeah. I think the last race and the last day.
I usually get out.
The last race, the last day, I might get out for you, this fella.
Two questions before you wrap up, John. People would love to know, Willie this year only runs one in the Cheltenham Bumper, is that right?
Three.
Oh, he's going to run three, because people are always saying when you don't know that you have a good one, you run five or six. Is that true, or are you giving every owner and every horse a chance?
The last time we ran five, were the first, second, fourth, fifth and sixth?
Right. Relegate? Was that
we might not know which the best one is, right, but there were five good ones.
So
you have a fair idea this year, do you?
I think Appreciate is the best of them. Yeah. The man's a very good horse too, Fernie Hollow. But has he the mentality for it? That's fairly questionable. And you need that, Pat. People don't give horses enough credit for it. Like, you look at all those Irish horses, they're going to go 2 days before they run, spend two nights in a strange stable, with racing on all around them for 2 days. They have to mentally be able to take it. They're used to running in front of maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people. If they ran the Dublin Racing Festival, maybe 11. For younger horses, they're going to be fired into a place with 70,000 people, noise, atmosphere. The horses have to take that too. So I think Appreciate It has the mentality and the bumper to take
and
that.
And the other question I think people would love to know, the horse that won a market raise and Panic Attack.
Yeah.
Why is that horse sold out of Willie Munns's, and it's now one of the favourites for the bumper?
To sell it, and I think, obviously, Martin Pipes, the owner, had more poke than any of Willie's wanted to pay for it.
Could you see it winning the bumper?
I don't think so.
No, there you go, that's enough. So, yeah.
Geez, I appreciate it's a gorgeous Stanford horse too, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it's a horse for chasing down. Future, it's absolutely gorgeous horse.
I love him.
Yeah, it's one not just for this year, but
the handicap size, the lads who want to get a, you know, to have the fiver each way at 33s and 25s.
Love the way he says the lads. The lads have been harbouring at the handicaps here for half an hour.
That's all I can afford this year is the fiver each way at 33s.
But I think the story is Anthony is telling all the, his WhatsApp group is all his watering holes.
No, yeah. Not the stories.
Interesting one, Ruby. You might know a bit about the horse Canardier. Never run for Willie yet.
No, but I happened to watch him last year in Aintree. I was sitting in the Wareham. And Barry, I was sitting beside Barry, and Barry went out to ride him. And I was just watching him because I'd been sitting beside Barry for the 5 minutes beforehand. I thought he gave him a brilliant ride. I thought he arrived to win and ended up finishing third. And I remember thinking, that hasn't a pound in hand. And he's at the same mark. I don't think he's well enough handicapped.
Willie Mullins might find
he'll a pound. He'll be in the Albert Bartlett, will he?
No, he's in the Coral Cup.
Coral in the Coral Cup.
I just, it wouldn't be for me, but that's just what I watched of Willie's and handicaps. You know, they put £6 into Franco de Port, but I'd say he could be an improving type if he was throwing the Coral Cup. And in the Martin Pipe, at 5 o'clock, even at top weight, at 5 o'clock in the front view, they were first and second and Torless. I think the front view was Joseph's. Yeah. That'd be two I picked out.
Any for you, Tommy? Handicap lots?
I think the horse that'll run well will be Alpha Mix of Gavin Cromwell's. I think it's going to run the Coral Cup. I think that's a fair horse. It got beaten the last day, but it's still improved form. I like the horse quite a bit, Alpha Mix.
I think there's a change of ownership too, is that right?
Going to run the colours.
Great stuff, boys. We're nearly up to an hour and a half. We could go again if we were to go back to stories about jumping chairs and tables in the Queen's Hotel and drinking pink champagne when we're not used to it or not reared at it. But pleasure to have you, Tommy, Pat and the King.
The greatest. Yeah, the greatest.
Enjoy it. And I know it'll be a funny one for you, but as you said, you've completely come to terms with it. So I think that's a lovely place to be. I'll be watching you on the TV anyway. And I'll be having a listen to this again to see do you produce the winners for us. Thanks.
You're supposed to delete this now and it's not getting beat.
Barry can cut.
Yeah. Bear the corona gets us. We'll be going ahead. So thanks a million, folks, for listening. Hope you had a bit of crack out of it and enjoy it on your train journeys and on your car journeys home, and maybe travelling over a few people flying into Stansted or something and heading down.
They're supposed to be reading the Monday preview.
This is as good. Great stuff. Okay, guys.
Thanks, Anthony.
Cheers.
Thanks,
Anthony.